This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn.
I got you.
So, I saw a lady last night that she said when it first began at the beginning of the year, Joe and Jeremy, because we talked about this when Ed was out, she said she hated the opener.
Mm-hmm. Really?
She absolutely hated it. She says now she's so programmed that she hears it before the show starts.
Yeah.
She said, it's grown on me. I said, I knew it was, and you and I talked about that. So I think it'll grow on people.
I found some songs that I thought would have been really good.
No, that's cool, man.
As instrumentals. But again, when we were talking about this, I'm like, this is, yeah, I don't know. It's comforting.
It is. She said she hears it now before it begins, and it's really grown on her. She likes it.
Yeah. You're with your boyfriends, your loving boyfriends. That's us, guys. We're their boyfriends. Yeah. Well, I don't. That's kind of weird, isn't it? Never mind.
Shut up. We were doing fine. Fiction. Yeah, we were doing fine, and you had to make it weird.
Yeah, man.
You heard that a lot growing up, didn't you? We were doing fine, Jeremy. You had to make it weird.
You have no idea how much I loved making people uncomfortable.
I do. We sit with you every day.
I've told this story before.
Yeah, we have no idea.
I remember being out on a basketball court where we'd just separated, picked up teams. It's just pickup, right? And then the guys are like, you want to go shirts and skins? And I was like, nah, we're going tops and bottoms. Which one you want? He's like, tops and bottoms? I was like, we'll go bottomless if you want. That way you know who's on your team. And like, I'm egging them on to try to think I'm being for real. Right. And these dudes are looking at me like, who the hell is this guy? I'll box out. And I said, man, I'm only serious. Take your pants off. No. But it is. It's fun to make people uncomfortable.
Yeah. Hey, Ed, you know, the funny part about it is.
I was serious?
The infamous night where the couple, the girl tried to be with me and the guy tried to be with him. He wasn't so comfortable with that. I never saw Jeremy squirm ever. That's the first and only time that I've seen Jeremy Kahn squirm. That's why when he talks all of this, that gay stuff that people think, is he serious? No. That was the moment of truth. He never looked so uncomfortable in the 20 years that I've known him.
It was that was a reality check like never before. Like,
am I really doing this?
You're not, man, am I going back to this guy's car now? No. That's the way I love telling that story. I was like, I told this guy, you got to be kidding me, man. You got to stop this. We need to go out to your car and do this. No, but it was, for people that don't know, like there was a night where we were at De La Rosa's and some woman starts flirting with Rob and I'm sitting there and I'm just hanging out with the guy like.
Her husband.
Was it her husband?
They both had rings on.
Cuckold as hell, man. maybe she was getting cuckolded.
That's a little beyond that.
Yeah. But like, and then again, I always joke about playing Red Light, Green Light, and where he does the taxi driver, red light, the hell's this guy doing? Uh-oh, here comes the school bus, red light. Here comes the fire truck. Red light. Fire trucks don't stop at red lights. Get your hand off my crotch, man. In a few minutes. It can get more uncomfortable.
No, you were totally not with this.
No, because like
Jeremy was like, dude, get away from me.
Someone called my bluff. Yes. I have one friend that you could never one up on just being the most outrageous person in the room.
Uh-huh.
Because if you say something, he just agrees with it and says something more disgusting. So I don't know what you do with that guy.
That night, your real card came out.
Excuse me, sir.
It looked like he was itching and he couldn't scratch it. Like his whole hand was, your back itches.
That dude kept buying me drinks and I'm like, man, this is kind of, what's in these?
What'd you do last night, man?
I mean, I went on a podcast yesterday. We had more plumbing issues, which was fun. Had a rough mental health day, which I mean, I'm not going to get into it, but like it is something where, and actually on the podcast I went on, that's what I was talking about. Just with so much, these past 3 weeks have been a lot. And I know like we've all been through things, but having all of this happen at once, I don't think I've even fully processed my dog stuff and he's fine and healthy now, but yeah, it was one of those weird days. I watched a lot of the Saturday Night Live stuff. There's three different specials. I don't know if people know that.
The music special.
There's the history of the music, the new music where they're playing live, which some of it was really good and some of it's like, what are we doing here? And then there's SNL 50th where it's all the people there acting and doing skits. So I watched a bunch of that and I think that was it. Some college basketball last night, obviously. I had a 5-0 night, which was great in the top plays. Got messages from some mutual friends saying, showing me the parlays they hit.
It's good.
Some nice money. Good.
I attended the bourbon tasting at Masoni's, which was awesome. Some good stuff there. You guys got to try that. You're not a big bourbon guy. You got to try to
drink. I just don't drink a lot anymore.
A bourbon called Duke.
Mm-hmm.
It's John Wayne.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I tried it a couple of weeks ago, but they had it tasting again last night. It's really, really smooth.
Have you ever used the John Wayne toilet paper? The one that's rough, tough, and doesn't take any crap off anyone?
No, I never used that one.
Yeah.
No,
you usually get that at some low-rent places, like radio stations.
Yeah. And then I had to leave there to go to Pickles because Deep Eddie's had their pineapple release.
That was the other thing. I was just telling my wife about it last night. I said, I think that thing's coming up that we got invited to, but with all the stuff.
It was last night, yeah.
The past couple of weeks, it was like we didn't have a lot of things on our schedule.
They're going to be joining the show.
Good.
Yeah, so Deep Eddie's pineapple, so that'll be good. I had a chance to do that. What'd you do last night, Edward?
Just hung out with friends and going to Mount Washington Tavern and invite to eat. Talked about our bourbon event next week. It's a week from last night, actually. So, yeah. Just hung out with friends and kept, kind of a quiet night.
And, last night they had the pumpkin, or not the pumpkin, the pineapple. They had...
like a mixed drink?
Yeah, no, I mean they had pulled pork.
Oh, okay.
But with a hint of pineapple, which I'm sure was good, but I don't eat pork. So I left there, and I forgot to tell you, Ed, I went over to
Al Pastor? Is that what that's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went over to Capitol Grill, and you want something quick. So I'm like, I never had a burger at Capitol Grill. Probably one of the best burgers. It tastes like the steak.
It's all about it's all about the meat.
Yeah.
It's
one
different.
Of the I'm like, what can I have?
That's what I was telling people. There's nothing better than good meat in your mouth. Like, you savor that, right?
No.
Okay. I thought it was about the meat, Ed.
Oh, boy.
But, being serious, though, like, I would never think about going to an upscale place and buying, like, a burger
because I would
get something else. But it's happened before where we stopped into a place for lunch and it's like, I just want a sandwich. Let me get a burger. And you're like, holy hell, why haven't I ordered this before?
One of the best burgers, man. I'm like, wow, this is great.
I just did this when I was in Florida. I went to Celeste's restaurant. It's a Mexican place, high-end Mexican food, really outstanding chef there. They have a hamburguesa, just for Mexican hamburger. No, I'm going to try it. It was freaking delicious.
What was it called? A borghesa?
Hamburguesa.
Hamburguesa.
It's just Mexican. It's just Spanish for hamburger. But it's like, it was just delicious. The meat's fantastic. They use whatever kind of meat they use for it. They had Spanish cheeses on it and poblano peppers. And it was oh my goodness, it was delicious.
410-583-1057 is the number. The Orioles, Brandon Hyde says he wants to step his game up a little bit in 2025. Wants to be more aggressive. We'll talk about that at 6:45. But on the other side, Ravens league informed teams that the salary cap will be at least $277.5 million in 2025. What does that mean for the Ravens? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
And so it is tough with the salary cap. You hate to see good players leave. Last year we lost a slew of good players on defense, right? We had all these guys last year that overperformed. We lost all those guys last year. Well, you know what? We replaced. We traded Morgan Moses in offense. We let Kevin Zeitler walk. You know what? Our running game was better than it was last year, and Lamar got sacked less. So that's what motivates me, is how do you take advantage? Because, you know, the reality of it is, if you have a good team, right, you spend a lot of money on players, you can't keep everybody. You become a victim of your own success by drafting really good players.
That's Eric DaCosta, Ravens GM, on the Todd McShay podcast. Last year's salary cap for teams was $255.4 million. So we're looking at, Ed, an increase of about, of at least $22.1 million for 2025. That's pretty significant.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and they're going to have to keep doing this unless they come up with a different rule.
For quarterbacks.
But, it's good to say. I think they needed it because the salaries, just the quarterback salary contract's just out of sight now.
I just think, I said it before, I think the NFL should adopt the Larry Bird rule, Jeremy, for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You want to keep your guy, you get to go over a certain amount for your quarterback, but only for the quarterback.
I mean, I honestly wouldn't care if it was for any position for that matter if you drafted them, because that's the whole deal with it. Like, you're giving them the advantage of re-signing them to keep them in your city because you can pay them more. What the NBA ended up transferring into was, I want you to trade me now so they can give me the max extension, or give me the max extension, then trade me.
Yeah.
That's what the players want now, and some of the guys have forced it.
I don't mind that.
But, like, again, so if we go back to the NFL.
Well, you said it violates the spirit of the rule, though. It does.
Yeah, because it's like you're forcing the situation. And I don't care. Players have to use leverage whenever they have it. I've totally changed on that over the years with being the team-oriented guy. Yeah, billionaires. I'm worried about them making their money. No, pay the guy and figure it out. But, like, you start looking at these situations with cap and trying to figure out what you want to do. It does make it difficult, and that's why I think he's absolutely right about you become a victim of your own success in drafting, because now you have wholesale decisions to make of who do you want to pay, because you've developed this guy, you got him into your system. We've seen a lot of guys on the defensive side here go off to other teams and not have the same success.
You're right. Now NFL.com reports that the minimum ad is $22.1 million increase. It could raise up to $26.1 million. An increase as well. So the minimum is going to be 22.1.
You know, you ever just stop yourself when you start talking about these numbers?
Yeah, I have.
Like,
I have. You know what it was? It was a different sport. The other day, when a veteran signed and he was not projected to start, to even be a starter, he's projected to come off the bench. And Justin Turner got $6 million.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not even projected to be in the starting lineup. He got a 1 year, $6 million. Or maybe the quarterback, the redhead dude used to be on the bench.
Andy Dalton
got an $8 million deal as a backup with the Carolina Panthers. Yeah. That's when I think about it.
Yeah.
When the starters, you think, okay, whatever. But when backups get that kind of money, then you start thinking about
this way,
it.
Because it's usually like, he took a really, basically taking a low offer. He took a very team-friendly deal. He's only getting $9 million this year. Like, what?
It is funny because we did the thing, and this is back before like even some of the big money was in. I always forget the quarterback's name that was on the Chiefs. Always wore his backward hat from Missouri.
Chase Daniel.
He played in this league for such a long time. I think he started three games in total, maybe played in three games in total. And he made over $40-some million being a backup
quarterback. They said he made upwards of $50 million with bonuses and things like that.
Unbelievable. I mean, that's the life, right?
Yeah. Like, hold a clipboard. You can still walk when you're 55.
He backed up quarterbacks like Drew Brees and Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
That's who he got a chance to back up.
Yep. I mean, look.
That's unreal.
They used to joke, like, and you could say it with some of the teams now, what's the best position on the field? It used to be when the Colts were playing and had the great offense, being Indianapolis's punter, or being the Patriots' punter, because they don't get stopped. They just keep going down the field. And now with teams going for it, it happens even more.
He started five games
See?
in his 13-year career.
crazy, right?
Like started five games, he made over $40 million.
And now he's working for Fox Sports, so he's got even another cushion.
He's actually pretty good.
I like him.
Well, they're going to – I wonder how long it's going to take him to get caught up into all the – because he's like the anti
– He's already been correcting all those guys when they're saying wrong things. Okay. So, like, I think – I don't think you're far off from it. Yeah.
How long does that last? Because he's the anti-everything that they are. When you look at this cap, though, does that maybe change the situation on what you do at tight end now? Or do you still have to make that decision?
Oof. I mean, they have other needs. I just don't know what to do with Ronnie Stanley. I think he's the key. They have the best tight end room in the league. I don't care how look. Andrews had a terrible game in the playoffs. Got it. He had like a lot of touchdowns. He had like 11 touchdowns this year. He still was very good. So I don't know if you just want to jettison him.
Right.
Well, the problem with it is though is like, do all of your tight ends come up for contract after this year? All of them.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're in a situation where
you could lose any.
You could lose all of them, but so, do you want to pay two?
So trade Andrews and at the same time extend
likely.
Yeah. What the Ravens have going on is an estimated $12.9 million now in cap space, which Joe just told me is double what they would have without this increase.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I still think you need
because
to
it's
get,
projecting what the salaries are going to go up with Lamar and all those other guys.
I think you need to figure out Ed's right about the offensive line because that's the most imperative thing. I think it's a luxury to have two really good tight ends. I'm not saying like I wouldn't want to see it next year because I think it's been a great thing, but you come to a point where you got to pay and you got to figure out who you want to pay. And like the points of Tyler Linderbaum, what are you doing with him? We talked about that with Ken McCusick because you got to make a decision this year if you're giving him, you can't give him the fifth year option if he's going to make $20 million at that position. So you'd rather either extend him or say, hey, we're not picking up your fifth year option. And then you're an unrestricted free agent. So, on the defensive side of the ball, you've got decisions to make as well of who are we, when does Kyle Hamilton get paid? Because that dude's going to get paid.
You got to pay him.
Absolutely.
You got to pay him.
So, like, and this is why I talk about even baseball, but a lot of things in football, it's chess because you can't risk blowing up the cap this year expecting it to go up next year.
I think you also have to look at, you talk about playing chess, looking down the road at other potential moves. Like in chess, you make a move, but you try to anticipate other moves. There's other moves out there that would affect the cap space. Because you're going to, like you said, you mentioned Hamilton. He's getting paid. Mm-hmm. And he's going to get paid a lot. He may be the best safety in football. I mean, you can argue.
The most versatile.
Yeah. I mean, there's certainly a lot of ways you could argue that he is.
I got news for you. Like, it's a tough thing to say. He might be the best defensive player in football.
He might.
He's that
the
good.
The most versatile.
Yeah. Yes.
I'll go back to that. He's. I think you can make a real argument he's the most versatile defensive player in football. Guy's unbelievable, man. The guy's an absolute stud. You're right. You got to pay him. You got to pay him long before it's time. Like Vinny used to always say, credit card mentality. You can't go out and just charge things up and think you don't have to pay it back. And a lot of football teams get in trouble that way. We saw the Rams do that. You got to be, you got to know what you're spending. And sometimes you got to map it out before you actually start spending it. Well, that would be wise. And I think that's the Ravens do a great job with that, not getting into that credit card mentality.
Yeah, I mean, they always have. I mean, there's always situations. Nobody wants to run into salary cap hell because it's like, who are we cutting and who are we getting rid of? Because you have to figure that out before you even get to the draft. You have to have money allocated for your draft picks. And then, figuring out what's best, a post-June 1st cut, if you're going to do that, is a trade better for you? I mean, there's a lot of decisions to make when you get into salary cap hell.
I mean, and there's other things, like all of this. The one I'm looking at is we need cornerback depth, right? Mm. Got to have it. That's a position of need. J.R. Alexander and the Packers are ready to part ways.
Mm.
He was a teammate of Lamar's at Louisville. To me, it's like,
a no-brainer?
I could see him coming here. Lamar's teammate. We need a corner. He's only 28 years old. Then you have to pay like three cornerbacks.
There were two guys rumored to come here, and that's the first one I heard was Jair Alexander, which I like, but he is a bit of a, I don't want to say diva, but he has some of his issues, and he doesn't mind speaking about them freely. That's why the Packers have been like, dude, just shut up.
Yeah.
The other guy is Davante Adams here, and I'm going, he's a free agent, so it's like, is that really where you want to allocate your money?
Yeah, I don't want that. Wide receiver room is fine.
I'm just going to say, wait, you're a cornerback or wide receiver?
If you're losing Mark Andrews, does it make more sense to go back to that type of personnel and having a guy like Davante Adams to go along with Zay Flowers. And
who is Davante Adams now, though?
I think he's still good, but his star is fading.
Yeah. He's good.
But
he's
not. I just didn't get it.
Think he and his agent know that they're just good.
I'd rather have Alexander if it came down to two of them.
You should have just said Jair.
410-583-1057 is the number. Maryland USC preview at 7 o'clock, but on the other side, what does he do for an encore? No, not Joe LaCroix. That's at 9:45. We're talking about Colton Cowser, second in Rookie of the Year for the American League in 2024. What are your 2025 expectations of the outfielder? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big Bang update from the yard. On 105.7. On 105.7, the Fan.
Having an off season to reflect on it, and you know, looking at some of those things is really good for me, and especially not ending the season on quite the positive note. You know, kind of left a little sour taste in my mouth, and you know, wanting to go out there and prove to myself and teammates and fans that you know, can really work on things and have some success.
That's Colton Cowser, second in Rookie of the Year last year. Cowser in the first half of the season batted .219 with an OPS of .724. He did have 12 home runs, 34 RBI. He was consistent, Ed, in the second half with the power numbers, 12 home runs, 35 RBI. But his batting average went up to .268 and his OPS all the way up to .814. You see a lot of rookies hit the wall. He seemed to be the opposite in the second half.
Which is even more irritating that he didn't win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah,
yeah. He was a shoo-in in the first half because there was nobody he was competing with. Wyatt Langford was having a down season. And when you look at the defensive metrics of Colton Cowser, they're off the charts good.
Yeah. Now, those numbers could be skewed a little bit because of a 329 July.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was the OPS pretty decent in August, 718. In September, 754. but that average did dip below 240. The batting average below 240. The power was consistent. Four home runs July, four home runs August, four home runs September. So it was consistent. What are your expectations of Couser in 2025, either one of you?
Very high. Okay. I'm looking forward to him really having a little bit of a breakout.
I do tend to worry about sophomore slumps at times. I mean, it's a real thing. It doesn't affect everybody in their second year.
It doesn't affect everybody.
But yeah, like when you talk about...
Jaden Daniels going to have a sophomore slump?
Of course.
I mean, is he? You know, we don't know.
Well, when you look at... I mean, I guess you could say C.J. Stroud kind of had a down year in year two.
Yeah,
it was still a good season. It was still a good season for him. But no, like when you look at Couser, I think defensively you can expect a lot. I think there's a good chance that... if they do come up with some sort of move and move Cedric Mullins, or there's some sort of package going, because we've all thought about this, that Colton could play center field until you're ready or until you have the person you want to be out there. But ultimately, I think your defense is better with Ced in center and deciding on how you're going to platoon Tyler O'Neill and Kierstead out in the outfield.
This is how important he is to winning. And Orioles wins 87 games. He played in 87 of their wins. He batted 286, on-base percentage 367, OPS 922. And Orioles losses, he played in 66 of those. His batting average was 185, OPS 563. The huge difference in how productive he is in wins versus almost zero. That's a guy that was important to the lineup when you look at those splits like that.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Especially now with, you know, with Tony Taylor's gone, I think he's going to be really important to this team, and I think that's part of their, you know, the decision making. And I heard he put on a, you know, power display at spring training, and I know it's only spring training, but people were talking about it like he was really impressive, like, you know, Justin, people, you know, ball after ball going out of the ballpark,
yeah,
displaying a lot of power.
Well, and again, like the thing that I liked about him last year, and I'm trying to pull up the splits that I was looking for, like he did play 80 games against left-handed pitching, which you're looking for, you love to have everyday players, so you don't have to make that switch. You can still put guys in key situations, because like if Gunnar Henderson's getting a day off, I guarantee it's against a good lefty. If you decide to give him a day off, or it has something to do with the back-to-back day offs. That kid's going to play almost every day. You want him facing everything. You got a switch hitter. You don't worry about it as much unless he's so good from one side of the plate. You'll see teams make that move because they want you to hit from the right side if you're weaker there. Now, looking at the lineup, the fact that Colton Couser can be in there every day, where should he hit, in your opinion? Because I've seen some mock lineups that have him hitting like fifth, sixth.
Can I give you the numbers of his lefties? Yeah. He had 146 plate appearances, 134 at-bats. He batted 224. His on-base percentage super low, 281. His slugging low, 381. His OPS not good, 661. He had five home runs and eight RBIs.
When people say, I don't understand the left-right splits, that's why you look at these things. Like, I don't understand why does it have to be a lefty against a righty. Some guys are reverse splits and things are crazy, and some guys are just everyday players and hit everyone, like Yordan Alvarez. Like, you have some freaks of nature out there. But the fact of the matter is, like, this is why, because if you're getting those bats, you're going to get better, hopefully, at hitting against left-handed pitching.
Yeah.
So I like the fact that he got to stay in.
Hunter Roberto.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
His was stark.
I think he just hit another single off of a lefty.
Yeah.
By the way, Colton Couser was worse. His numbers were worse against left-handed starters. He was like, his OPS was, as OPS actually was higher. His average, though, was lower at 211.
So
his slugging was a little bit higher.
You know, it is, even still looking at new age numbers, I still get caught up sometimes looking at batting average. You know, like, because, again, you forget about it sometimes where you're going, oh, my God, he only hit 209. Well, what was his on-base percentage? What was his OPS? Yeah. Because that's actually way more important.
See, I'm the opposite. I only do batting average for the sake of the listeners who still live in the batting average. If I'm not on air and I'm looking at somebody's numbers, I don't even look at a batting average. It doesn't matter to me. I do it for the sake of the people that are listening that still live by the batting average.
But I can't help but look at it because I always go to Baseball Reference, and it's the first one in the line of all the percentages of batting average, OBP, slugging, OPS, total bases.
I'm trying to think where we were on the road. And Eve Rosenbaum brought it up to my attention. She, up in this, the scoreboard. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't even post batting average.
It was all OPS.
It's all OPS.
Really?
It was your raw numbers, right. Home runs, RBI, and OPS.
You told me that. You were on the road,
I did.
Right?
We were on the road. And she pointed it out to me. She said, look. Mm-hmm.
Was it Kansas City? No.
No, it wasn't Kansas City. I didn't go to Kansas City last year. I'm thinking it was either Toronto.
I was just going
to
say Toronto because it was a different country.
It's either Toronto or the Mets. It was really? One of those two.
Was it in French? Because then if it's not, it could be the Mets.
Yeah, well, they also speak French in Toronto.
French. Shut up, Ed. Jesus.
What do you think? I didn't know that.
You think they don't know that? Come on.
Yeah. So, but and the point was, she said, as we go on, watch, you're going to see that more and more. You're not going to see batting average. And I'm wondering with the changes that they're going to make at Camden Yards, and school board was one of the changes they're talking about making in the future. I'm wondering if you see that here, because you have a front office that's strictly OPS. They don't give a rip about batting average.
I bet you start to see that more. Yeah. Because it's not only that it's a more important stat, but they also want to educate fans on this. Yeah. Like, we talked about this last year. The guy that we had on, you'll remember his name probably. You know what? I'm sorry, you remember somebody's name. But he was a numbers guy, and you had him on the broadcast doing sabermetrics and kind of teaching people what this means, exit velocity, and all these things, because you have a lot of fans that are so old-fashioned that they don't even look at that stuff. Like, what's EV? What's that mean? Launch angle? Why does that matter? But those things do. You remember the stats guy?
I do remember. I'm trying to think of his name.
I see. I didn't want to put you on the spot because I don't expect you to remember my name some days.
410-583-1057 is the number. Ed Norris, Rob Long.
Yeah.
Jeremy Card. Shovels.
Jerry Coleman.
At 7:15. But on the other side, Brandon Hyde said he wants the team to be more aggressive in 2025. Do you think the Orioles played too conservative in previous seasons? I'm going to talk about it up next on The Fan. I don't even want to talk over this. 6:47 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed, do you think the Orioles are too conservative in this style of play?
No.
You know, I never thought so either. You, Ed, no. You Jeremy?
No, I thought if anything, we could have
running
made
more
case.
Than ever.
Yeah, I think running more, but also aggressive at the plate.
Yeah.
Remember how they were talking about ambushing
right.
pitchers? So
mm-hmm.
I don't. Yeah.
Well, this is what Brandon Hyde had to say about that topic.
I think as a young player, you don't want to make a mistake. And so playing on the conservative side is more natural and more normal, especially when you're playing close games, trying to win every game. It's harder on a good team that's trying to get to the postseason than it is with our teams 19, 20, 21, where you could just, we could run just to be aggressive. But when the game matters a little bit more, and it's later in the game especially, young guys just sometimes get a little cautious. You know, we're trying to work on a lot this spring training, try to free those guys up a little bit.
If I piece some things that he said post-game late in the season last year, and you splice it up and you put it together with what he's saying now, this is my interpretation of this, Ed. Those young guys got a little tight.
I think post-season
down the stretch.
They did, yes.
Down the stretch. I think in the season, too, down the stretch,
yeah.
Because the games meant more.
Yeah.
I think that's what he means
that
by
I believe,
more aggressive.
I don't think they were conservative. I do think they get tight in the postseason, though. Hence the terrible, the cold bats.
But
So did he use the word aggressive as a code for?
Tight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's kind of easy to look at, too, with all the young guys they called up not having the type of success you expected right away, except for Colton. But he had a cup of coffee the year before. It just wasn't enough to eliminate him from rookie of the year status. You know, like he could still win that. Like Jackson Holiday struggling,
yeah.
Seeing Kobe Mayo come up and struggle.
Hey, can I stop you there?
Mm-hmm.
Because you and I got in a debate last year about late in the season relying on Kobe Mayo. And I think maybe you thought I'm talking about Kobe Mayo's ability. And I wasn't talking about his ability. I think he has the ability.
About timing?
I'm talking about what Hyde was just saying. Bringing a young player up who's trying to establish himself in games that matter on that level. I'm not saying it's never happened before, because it has happened before. But,
this is the problem, though, right?
Exactly.
Because, like, you have to ultimately make the decision. Am I sacrificing a young player who should be getting... Like, we just said the other day, Kobe Mayo can prove nothing else at AAA.
Right.
I mean, he's done everything. And there's a pretty good chance he starts at AAA because he doesn't have a spot. So, as a team that's competing, whether you believe it or not, for a World Series, a pennant, getting to the playoffs, all these things... It comes down to, like, do I want to rely on guys to kind of cut their teeth at the major league level when we're playing important games?
Yeah, and again, I'm not saying it doesn't happen because it does happen. I've seen, I think what's his name, Greg Jeffries for the Mets one year. When the Mets needed, you know, they brought him up late in the season. And I want to say it was like 87, 88.
How about
they brought him? I'm gonna look it up.
Well, wait, you're looking it up. How about when the Reds caught up Mike Leake when they like a month after they drafted him because he was out of college and he pitched in the postseason for him?
It was 88. The Mets lost to the NLCS. Reynolds, I'm looking at his numbers in 88.
Mike Reynolds.
88. He came up. He played 29 games, but in those games he batted 321 with a 961 OPS. So it happens. You can bring a young guy up, but you know why I remember Greg Jeffries that year? Because it's not common. That's why I remember what he did back in 1988. Because bringing a kid up at that moment and for him to be that productive, and I think he's pretty productive in the postseason too, that's uncommon. That's a story. So I just didn't want to put Kobe Mayo in that position. I'd rather get a veteran bat with somebody who's done that before.
But also think about what you're saying, too. The reason it's so uncommon, how often do you have a team with this many young players
you're
that
right.
are this talented? I mean, they went through a rebuild, and they, I don't know, rebuilt the team, and which a lot of people aren't getting. Like you talked about this. The superstars that are out there that people are trying to sign, they're already here.
We have that.
They're already here.
I would love to talk to someone who's older than me, you know, someone in their 60s, maybe even 70s. Is this the best minor league system that the Orioles have ever, the best farm system that the Orioles have ever had? Because you look at some of the other guys that they brought up, some of the greats, some of them weren't homegrown. Frank Robinson wasn't homegrown.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Brooks was homegrown. Palmer was homegrown. Cal was homegrown. Eddie was homegrown. But you know what the difference is? They didn't come up together.
No, and again, talking about spacing it out, you'll see guys that each team has a prospect that they can't wait to call up and showcase, whether he was a top five pick or whether you found him in round 50 and it just kind of worked out. Like, everybody now is talking about the Orioles pitcher that was throwing 100 yesterday or whatever. This young said, remember his name. Yeah. Even Ben McDonald tweeted something.
Martinez.
Yeah.
So I didn't know the name. Joe just told me.
Yeah. Rob's just shouting out names, and I'm like, come on, man.
I didn't know that one.
But no, but like, again, you're in a unique situation because ultimately you're trying to figure out what we're doing with these prospects that we think are going to become really good players. And then you tried to allow Jackson Holliday to cut his teeth early. Didn't work out. And then late, you called up Kobe Mayo. And we were sitting here going, all right, what types of bats he's going to get? Because we knew they were going to be in the postseason. We just didn't know where they were going to technically rank, if they were going to win the division or not at one point.
But I would love to know that. Some of the baseball old heads, is this the best farm system that the Orioles have ever had? Because we can name a lot of great homegrown talent that came through the system, but they didn't come through together.
I don't think anyone can touch this because when you're talking about the farm system, you got to go back to Adley. Well, you got to go back to Grayson getting developed underneath this regime, even though he was drafted by Duquette. But you get to this point where you start looking at all those names I named yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, Adley, you've got Gunner, you've got Jordan Westberg, you've got Colton Cowser, you've got Jackson Holliday.
All those guys.
And Sam Basayo and Kobe Mayo not even here yet.
They were either teammates or 1 degree of separation from one another. You know what I mean? These guys came up together.
I'm trying to use this as an example. How often do we have Ryan Ripken on the show? Every week, right? He played with all these guys. He was in the farm system with all of them. He's friends with all of them because of those relationships. So it's so impressive what they've done, even though there's a lot of people out there who don't want to give them credit.
Gunner, Cowser, Westberg, and Rutschman. Kerstad were all in the minors at the same time.
Yeah.
Not necessarily teammates or different levels, but they were all in the minors at the same time.
Yeah. Some of them, a lot of them crossed paths.
Yeah, they have. But you, I mean, come on, dude. You got a rookie of the year, the guy who finished second in rookie of the year. And, I mean, you got to wonder, man. That's I don't recall having
Luis
that
Hill,
much talent.
My ass.
You know, I keep bringing that up. 410-583-1057 is the number. Shovels at 7:15. But on the other side, we'll take a look at Maryland USC tonight. Terps get back on the hardwood. Terps Hoops up next on The Fan.